Coming up on this episode of Disneyland Weekly, we tell you how you can own a piece of Disneyland. The holiday offerings have been announced.
We know when A Bug's Land will close, a favorite returns for breakfast. We will talk travel planning with a special guest and more. Disneyland Weekly starts now.
This is Disneyland Weekly.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Disneyland Weekly for the week of August 1st, 2018. I'm Teg Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. First, we would like to send a big thank you to Alex, Kayla, Keith, and Gretchen for becoming patrons. By becoming patrons, they're going to receive some pretty great perks like access to our supporter-only chat, live streams of the show, and some DL Weekly swag. Thank you to all of our patrons for all of your support.
We'd also like to thank Carl for donating on PayPal. We haven't mentioned this way to support the show in a while. But if you just want to give a one-time donation, you can do so at DisneylandWeekly.com and click on the Donate button on the right side of the page. Thank you again, Carl, for doing so. Also, from August 2nd through August 6th, you can get 15% off everything in our DL Weekly store. Head on over to DisneylandWeekly.com/store and use promo code SUMMERSUN, all one word.
Now let's get to the news.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
Hello, and welcome to the Magic Kingdom of Disney.
Welcome to Disneyland. The happiest place
welcome
on earth.
Welcome to the Magic Kingdom of Disney.
Hello,
and welcome to the Magic Kingdom of Disneyland. Hope you'll have a wonderful and memorable stay in this happy place called Disney.
Greetings, folks. We're now leaving for Walt Disney's Magic Kingdom, Disneyland, USA.
Your attention, please. The Disneyland.
Do you want to own a piece of Disneyland? If so, then you should check out That's From Disneyland, a free exhibit and auction in Sherman Oaks, California from August 1st to the 24th to see if you want to bid on any of the items. The auction itself is on August 25th and 26th. Some of the items include four original stretching portraits from the Haunted Mansion, estimated to go between $50,000 to $75,000 each. Other items include ride vehicles like a Skyway bucket, a car from Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, and a Doom Buggy. Original concept drawings of famous attractions, vintage posters, props, models, pictures, and more will be up for bid. For more information, you can visit thatsfromdisneyland.com.
So, you guys, this is just overwhelming. And honest to God, if I lived anywhere near Sherman Oaks in California, I would just go walk around this exhibit just to look at this stuff. This is all, it sounded like it was all from somebody's personal collection. And it's phenomenal. I can't even wrap my head around how this man collected some of these pieces over the years. I mean, how do you get an original Doom Buggy?
Right. Yeah, I'm really shocked with this too, because of just the fact that like one person owned all of these different things, and they, you know, he collected them over years and years. He's got original stretching room portraits from the Haunted Mansion.
I can't wrap my head around how you would come. I mean, if you've got enough money, yes, you can pay for it, but how does the opportunity to buy these things come up? It's just amazing to me. And just the fact that it's not just one or two different ride vehicles he has like half a dozen different ride vehicles in his collection. Plus, I think there is actually a full-size Main Street vehicle as part of his collection too.
Well, it could be yours.
Oh, if I had the money and if I had the space, I would open my own Disneyland-themed museum and share it with the world.
Wouldn't it be so cool to have a Doom Buggy?
Oh, so cool.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. I was like, oh, if I had the money to have a Doom Buggy. But I don't have $50,000 to $75,000. And I think that they were saying like the Doom Buggy was going to be, you know, in the double-digit thousands,
yeah,
as well.
A lot of this stuff. I mean, there's one of the original Jose, one of the talking parrots from, oh, I mean, animatronics. How did this guy get his hand on animatronics? That's just amazing. So anyways, back to Jose. For those of you that don't know who Jose is, he is one of the hosts in the Tiki Room. He's one of the, I think he's the red parrot, but it's just mind-boggling to me. Just absolutely mind-boggling. So if you can afford it, or if you just want to go be a, you know, go experience and
collection,
go check these things out, please, please do so. And if you do also, I would love to see some photos of these things.
Totally.
It's just amazing to me.
Totally.
Disney announced a look into the planned festivals for the 2018 holiday season. In Disney California Adventure, you can celebrate the holidays at the Festival of Holidays of Viva Navidad Street Party. Over at the Holiday Overlay in Cars Land, you can take a spin on Luigi's Joy to the World or Mater's Jingle Jamboree. In Disneyland, returning classics like A Christmas Fantasy Parade, Believe in Holiday Magic, the Fireworks Show, It's a Small World Holiday, and the Sleeping Beauty's Winter Castle Projection Show are all returning. Another holiday favorite, Haunted Mansion Holiday, will be returning in September for Halloween, but it will also run through the end of the holiday time at the resort. The Jingle Cruise and the World of Color Season of Light were noticeably missing from the holiday season announcement. The holiday celebration at the resort will run from November 7th to January 6th.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that the Jingle Cruise and the World of Color Season of Light were missing, although I believe we talked about last year the Jingle Cruise wasn't around last year either.
Correct.
And of course, we've been having all of the problems with the World of Color platform that seems to... I saw a rumor online that when they did some of the construction for Pixar Pier, that one of the construction members might have damaged the platform.
Wow. I mean, that's got to be some pretty serious damage that they've got, because it's been, they've been quote unquote refurbishing it and working on it for a very long time now.
So before you went there,
it's
right?
It's got, yeah, it was, you know, I don't think it was much before I was there, because I was actually surprised to see that it was up and that they were working on it when I was there. So it had to have been just before I got there. But I just can't even wrap my head around how bad this must be. And I just feel so bad for the park and for all of the people visiting the park, because this is such a big part of Disney California Adventure that's missing.
Yeah. So I know you're a huge Halloween fan. Are you?
Yes.
Are you excited by any of these Christmas holiday kind of celebrations?
You know, quite frankly, I haven't experienced any of these except for the Haunted Mansion holidays. So I really don't know what I'm missing in person. It is definitely on my to-do list very as soon as I can to go to the resort during the holidays, because I want to experience all of these things. I know you really like the It's a Small World Holiday Edition.
I do.
I did watch, side note, I did watch, I think it was actually on Hulu that they have the special that they ran about decorating the kingdom for the holidays. And they actually did a segment on how they get together and do, you know, transform It's a Small World into It's a Small World Holiday. And then also how they transform the Haunted Mansion too. And it was very, very interesting. So if you have time, it is out there for you to watch. And I would highly recommend doing so.
I always think it's interesting that they have an entire warehouse full of all these holiday decorations. And in one of the specials I watched, they work on the holiday decorations all year round.
Yeah, there was one, because again, on this show, they had a segment that was all about the workers, that their entire job at the Disneyland Resort is to make, transform the castle into the winter themed castle. Mm-hmm. That's all they do all year, is build these pieces and swap out these bulbs. The fact that that is a full-time 365, you know, I mean, just a full-time normal job, that's not just kind of part of somebody's job, that they have a whole team and crew devoted to it, is just amazing.
Yeah, I would have thought that they had a team that did, like, resort decorations for, like, everything, and that team did everything, but this is just...
Yeah, and that just goes to show how detailed these decorations are, too.
Well, we finally have a closing date for A Bug's Land. September 4th will be the last day for the first expansion area of Disney California Adventure. The theming in this land was amazing, although some of the attractions were simple, off-the-shelf ideas. They were great for kids. Also, who didn't love Heimlich's choo-choo train?
I know Tag didn't at all. He hated it.
Oh, it was a terrible attraction.
Just kidding. Pretty sure when I was there a couple months ago, I had to take a video going through the choo-choo train just for Tag, so he can hear Heimlich's voice once more.
Oh, Heimlich.
Disney has officially announced that they will be eliminating single-use plastic straws and stirrers in the next year. This move will eliminate the use of 175 million straws and 10 million stirrers annually. The company has also planned to eliminate polystyrene or plastic cups. They're going to transition in-room hotel amenities such as shampoos, soaps, etc. to refillables in all of their hotels and cruise ships, and they're planning to reduce the number of plastic shopping bags by offering guests the option to purchase a reusable bag at a minimal price.
You know, the plastic shopping bags thing, I know that a lot of places have been kind of doing that as it is. You know, you go to the grocery store, you can buy, you know, the canvas bags and stuff like that. So I think that that's a great thing, because, I mean, who doesn't love more Disney merchandise? Because you buy a tote bag or a reusable bag, And it's could be considered like another souvenir. I know we talked when we talked to Liz, you know, she talked about getting a different like tote that like was for that. So it could be used for that. It's, you know, and I think it'd be a lot cheaper than a normal, you know, tote bag or something through them. And I know it's kind of funny that we talk about this week because Sunday, Therese and I met together like we do, and we went to sushi like we do. And we were talking about the fact that places were getting rid of plastic straws, and then this story popped up. And so it's funny because it seems like everybody is getting rid of plastic straws.
Well, the thing that was just so funny to me was in our conversation, I just completely put Disney on the spot and said, you know, it was so amazing to me that the Animal Kingdom park has had no plastic for quite some time. The fact that Disney can find a supplier big enough to supply paper straws to them, really there's no reason that anybody else couldn't do it. So it's amazing to me that we talked about that Sunday and boom, here we are talking about the fact that they've officially announced that they're going to get rid of plastic straws from all over the resorts. I think it's amazing. The other thing that I think is really cool too is if Disney can do it, that gives everybody else no reason why they can't do it too. So I think that's great.
Right. I foresee Universal Studios and all other types of amusement and theme parks, you know, even other parks that are in down the area like Knott's Berry Farm are probably also going to go to no plastics.
Well, and the thing that's great about it is not only obviously are we saving the environment and we're saving, you know, stuff from going into landfills, but just think of how much garbage you're saving. Just, you know, if people like straws are an easy thing that it can either fall out of your cup or somebody's maybe being naughty and throwing it on the ground. One less thing that workers have to clean up after. Plus it's just one less thing for this, you know, for Disney to have to purchase. Same thing. How much waste do you think happens with all of the little shampoos and all of the little hotel things? Because I think they have to swap that stuff out after each guest, whether they use it or not.
I just saw, this is really funny now that you mentioned that. So I just saw a video, I think this morning actually, on YouTube about hotel things like that are cleaned or swapped out after everything. And that was one of the things, like you said, they do throw that stuff out. So I'm glad that they're going to go to something that's more refillable and reusable.
Plus they're saving a ton of money.
Totally. Well, I'm really happy about this next story. So breakfast has returned at the Riverbell Terrace. The now sit down style restaurant has come out with a new menu with some interesting dishes along with some classic breakfast favorites. Menu items include the Southwest Fried Pork Chop that comes with eggs, potatoes, and bacon gravy. The Mark Twain, which has chicken sausage or bacon, eggs, potatoes, and biscuits. Country Biscuits and Gravy, which includes crispy chicken breast biscuits, bacon gravy, chicken crackling, blistered tomatoes. Of course, there is the Mickey-shaped pancakes that come with seasonal berries, chicken sausage, or bacon, a berry parfait with yogurt and granola, and a monkey bread, which is a warm and buttery sweet bread with pecan butter, maple syrup, candied pecans, and powdered sugar. The one thing I was very sad with, so I know that they have the breakfast potatoes, which is back, because that was like my favorite thing in all of Disneyland is these breakfast potatoes. And I used to get it with the Mickey pancakes because I believe there was something called, it was called the Steamboat Breakfast. And it was a Mickey-shaped pancake with bacon and breakfast potatoes. And like that was my favorite thing. So I think I'm going to have to go and order a Mickey-shaped pancake with a side of bacon and a side of the potatoes and just make it myself.
Maybe they'll be nice and let you substitute for your potatoes.
Maybe. I'm just glad that the Riverboat Terrace brought breakfast back because I thought it was a great location for it.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. Rumor has it that a possible expansion may be coming for Whitewater Snacks at Disney's Grand Californian Hotel. Disney has filed permits with the city of Anaheim, and referred to as the Whitewater Grill and Bar in the permits, the restaurant will have an outdoor seating and bar area.
So Whitewater Snacks already kind of exists there, and it looks like they're just going to expand it to be the grill and bar and add like a nice outdoor seating and bar area. So I don't know. It's good that they're adding this kind of stuff because obviously we lost some food locations in downtown Disney.
Yes.
And it's just as easy to go into Grand Californian and eat stuff there because there's like the Storyteller's Cafe and stuff there, which is pretty good. I've never eaten there, but I've heard it's really good. So interesting. It'll be interesting to see how this all comes together. Well, in an announcement that should surprise nobody familiar with how Disney normally does things, Paint the Night and Pixar Play Parade have been extended past the end of Pixar Fest on September 4th. The Pixar Play Parade is expected to run until the Christmas Fantasy Parade returns for the holidays. Paint the Night has no current end date at this time, but will continue to run at least until World of Color returns in the future, as it is the only nighttime spectacular at California Adventure.
You know, I think this move just really makes sense, because honestly, what were they going to do for that funny little gap in between Pixar Fest ending and when the holiday season begun? So it's, to me, it makes perfect sense. And honestly, this is going to sound really bad, but I kind of assumed already that these ran through, because it just made them, it was just the most logical to me. So I'm glad that we're now on the same page, Disney.
Well, how many years, I mean, with both the 50th anniversary and the 60th anniversary, how many years did the parades that were created for like run? I mean, the 50th parade, I think the Parade of Dreams, I think lasted like 4 years or something. So like, they're not going to spend a bunch of money on something like Paint the Night and not keep it around.
Well, and Paint the Night has just been so wildly popular. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing to me that they were thinking about not having it. Like, now that I've seen it, it makes total sense. It fits beautifully. And the cost involved for those floats, they're just amazingly beautiful floats that I just don't even want to know how much money they've spent on each of them. So the fact that to think that that parade was kind of temporary and had a timeline is just crazy to me.
Yeah, I don't think this parade's going anywhere for
a long time. I hope not. If you've visited the west side of downtown Disney since the end of June, you probably noticed that there has been no further progress on the new hotel and security complex. There have been a lot of rumors as to why this is, and with the addition of food trucks in the area outside of the former AMC theaters, it looks like it will be delayed for quite a bit still. Doug Marsh over at Laughing Place has done some digging and come up with a possible reason for the delay. It's quite an interesting story, and we recommend checking out the full article linked in the show notes. But basically, there is an underground fuel tank that was left there from back in the 70s that was forgotten about and needs to be addressed before construction can commence.
You know, I feel like in my life, I have seen so many stories of construction that gets delayed because of like underground fuel tanks. My very first like full-time job, I worked at a movie theater, and there was a gas station on that location first, and that had to be cleaned up. Anybody who's around our area in the La Crosse, Wisconsin area knows that there's the Exxon fuel site, which they're trying to develop something there, but it's been this whole thing about cleaning up because of tanks and oil and all that type of stuff. So go read the article from Doug Marsh. It's a great article. He talks about how next to the Disneyland Hotel, there used to be a gas station in the 50s, like when the Disneyland Hotel opened. And as was the normal operating procedure back in the day when they closed it, all they did was they would drain the fuel out, they'd fill the tank with dirt, and they'd bury it and leave it buried. So I think that Doug was able to pull up some old paperwork, and it shows that that's what they did. And Disney, through all the renovation that happened with the resort expansion in the early 2000s, never came across their mind that it was even there. And now that they're going to be doing work to have the new hotel and stuff, guess what? It has reared its ugly head. So there's a lot more to it, though. Go read the article for sure.
It's very interesting.
Yeah. I didn't think there was anything like that there. In fact, I didn't even know there was a gas station there ever.
You know, and I could see how that could be something very easily missed and forgotten by Disney, because I don't know anything about fuel tanks, but depending on how far down that is, it may not have been a problem before. Yep. So that makes total sense to me. I do feel bad that it's delaying all of the progress, because I was really excited to see how this new hotel was going to turn out. But I guess we'll just have to wait.
Agreed. Well, as we mentioned, with the delays in demolition and construction, a pop-up food court has appeared in downtown Disney. The old AMC Theater courtyard has been decorated and furnished by Disney and has a fun yet simple design. The courtyard is filled with colorful tables and chairs, umbrellas, and brightly colored banners hanging from the arbor featuring some of your favorite Disney characters. Disney's also invited food trucks serving burgers, wings, and ice cream to set up in the area as well. I think this is a great addition to this area. That's such a smart move to get something there.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's still tons of guests that go through there, and it just looks like, I mean, you know, Disney, I'm sure, when you come from the parking garage, you know, and you're walking into downtown, like, you don't want to see, like, empty storefronts.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's amazing to me, because the photos that I saw of this setup online, I honestly didn't recognize that this was the AMC Theater courtyard, because they did such a great job transforming it, which to me is amazing that they did as much with as little as it is, because it is very simply decorated, but it completely transforms the area and it looks awesome.
I agree.
The Pixar Film Festival has expanded to the Tomorrowland Theater. You can now take a break from the heat and enjoy three shorts: Lava, For the Birds, and Piper. So these might sound familiar because these three shorts were both featured, or were all featured, over in California Adventure for our first round of the Pixar Film Festival. So these were the three shorts in the Sunset Boulevard Theater before they had the Incredibles preview there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that they did something with the Tomorrowland Theater. I know some people were complaining about the fact that it still had Star Wars Path of the Jedi from before The Force Awakens came out, and they did very minimal changes for when the other Star Wars movies came out. So it's good to see that it's used for something that's not just an old movie.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I can see how there could be an argument that the Pixar Film Festival doesn't really have a place, you know, in Tomorrowland, but I'm just glad that they're using the space for something different.
Right. Especially with the loss of the Bugs Land Theater since that's being converted. Well, it seems like Disneyland is constantly in discussions on pay for the resort cast members. This last week, Disney reached an agreement with the largest labor unions to increase the minimum wage to $15.45 per hour by June 2020. More than one-third of all cast members at the resort are affected by this agreement. So we've talked about cast member wages so many times on this podcast, and it just seems like they're constantly battling with things. I think this is a good step in the right direction. Obviously, there's still two-thirds of people who are not covered by this that need to be addressed.
Yeah, so the thing that I think is really neat about this contract is that it's actually providing an immediate increase in the hourly minimum wage to $13.25 for all the covered employees, and then that is going to jump to $15 an hour on January 1st of 2019. So this is, I like that there's dates in place so that this is in motion. It's not just talk, but they actually have a plan and it's already started. So I think that's just awesome because we love our cast members. Without them, our experiences at the resort just wouldn't be the same. So they deserve every penny of it.
Agreed. Disneyland and travel go hand in hand, and many of our listeners have actually found our podcast while planning their trips to the parks. Even though Teresa and I know quite a bit about Disneyland, we don't always know the best tips when it comes to planning your next visit. We can provide information based on our own personal experiences, but we aren't experts. That's why we're so excited to introduce you to our guest this week.
Some of you already know our special guest this week. He's been a part of our Patreon chat, answering all sorts of Disney vacation planning questions, and just overall has been a wealth of Disney travel knowledge. Even Tag and I have been working with him to plan our trip next year for D23. Well, without further ado, we are thrilled to officially announce that Concierge is now the official travel planners of Disneyland Weekly. Let's all welcome James Hall to the show. Hello, James.
Hi, Tag. Hi, Teresa. Thanks for having me on the show.
And I just want to be clear for all of the people who maybe didn't hear that clearly. So the name of the company is Concierge, which is like concierge, but it's Conci, C-O-N-C-I, and then ears like Mickey Mouse.
I love the Disney twist.
Me too. So how did your love of Disney and Disneyland begin? And with that love of Disney, how did you get into vacation planning?
Well, I'd say my love for Disney started the day I was born. I grew up with my family around Disney. This was the movies, stories, vacationing with them. A lot of the times we went when I was little was around the time of my dad and my birthday, which was in July. Our birthdays are one day apart, so we would usually celebrate both of our birthdays by going to Disneyland. And it's through these experiences with people I love that I feel I've been able to make those type of memories that last a lifetime. For example, I remember a time, it was a limited edition parade where Disney characters came out in their PJs dancing with fairies, and I was one of those children that was selected during the parade to come out, dance with the characters, and throw some pixie dust. Now, before this podcast, I tried to research to find the name of that parade, but if anybody listening can find the name of this parade, you know, please let us know, because I want to know what the name of this was, because it was a fun memory. And I could go on for hours about different memories. But the memories didn't stop just with childhood. I mean, back when my now beautiful wife and I were dating, we first said, "I love you," at Disneyland, which was a wonderful memory for us both. Once again, Disney was there, and most recently, one of our most special memories together was making our baby announcement right in front of Cinderella's castle at the Magic Kingdom with on a trip with my family to Walt Disney World. Had it with holding a nice little Mickey hat, and to top it off, we got to get a congratulations from Mickey Mouse himself. Going into how I got involved with concierge, as I got older, I was very fascinated with the history of not just Walt Disney himself, but all the Disneyland parks. And I had this passion to want to research past and present attractions, what's coming up, so that whenever I go on a vacation, I'm aware of what's the best deals and what is going on so that I am well informed. And sometimes when talking with my friends, I would give advice because of what my research has, and that's what brought me to wanting to become a Disney travel planner. And I found concierge with our head concierge, Mike Renfro. It's through that passion that we got involved together, and I've been with them for quite a while now. And so again, why I make the distinction that I am a concierge Disney vacation planner, for me personally and the concierge team, vacations are vital. Like I was talking about memories, they provide strengthening bonds between family members and fosters that kind of love that makes them special. And Disney is the kind of thing that can do that wherever you go. Disneyland, Walt Disney World, the Disney Cruise, Disneyland Paris, Adventures by Disney. Now, I truly believe that a Disney vacation, when planned properly, is the pinnacle of a family vacation experience, creating memories that we hold in our hearts forever. So this is the reason why I'm specifically a concierge vacation planner. It's because I don't want to just book your vacation. I don't want to schedule your vacation. And definitely, we don't want to sell you a vacation. I mean, it's Disney. Disney speaks for himself. We don't think of ourselves as travel agents because we don't want to just book your trip and then be done with you. We help you with your trip from beginning to end, even when you're there. Like us working on your trip for next year. I mean, you could even contact me and say, hey, what's the best places to get a fast pass? Because we have third-party systems that keeps track of what the approximate crowd control is at each park for what day and where the best possible fast passes are. Say you book a vacation one, we might get a notification that there is a deal for a lower price at the same type of hotel that you booked. So then we could either modify it, or if we have to rebook it, we will. But we have all this tools at our disposal to make sure that everything is as stress-free and that everybody has a fun vacation. And some people might be skeptical of why using us. The way we tell them is you can go onto Disneyland's website and look at the ticket prices. We will find those exact ticket prices. Whereas nothing more expensive, Disney compensates us for helping you with your vacation, and they understand that, sometimes this is the way to go, and that's why we are Disney approved with Disney through concierge.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, for someone to have you help them plan their vacation, it doesn't cost them anything extra?
Exactly. You are not paying me anything extra to help plan your trip, whether it's a equal partnership where we balance ideas, and there's many different ways, can contact. There's also contacting by phone, creating a private Facebook page between everybody in your family, or like what Tegan, Therese, and I have done, making in the Patreon chat, make a private chat room just for the three of us, to where it's only us talking about your vacation, nobody else is seeing. So there are many different ways to talk with me and get this trip planned so that we are in constant contact. Heck, if you went to Walt Disney World and you wanted to find the nearest Starbucks, you can contact me and ask, James, where's the nearest Starbucks? And I will find that Starbucks for you if your coffee is very important to you.
I love it.
So that brings up something really important that I think that we haven't touched upon yet, which is, James, you've actually been pretty active in our supporter-only chat, and we actually have a whole section of our chat dedicated to vacation planning that any of the supporters can get into and get kind of direct access to you. And I know Therese is going to say you don't have to be a supporter to get a hold of you.
No, actually you don't. We will definitely have James's information, his email address, plus a link to the concierge website all on our website. Plus we'll have a link and such in the show notes for you this week too.
Absolutely. And then the only thing I wanted to say about that when I bring up the chat is I know some people, like myself, don't like talking to people on the phone. Obviously, there's plenty of ways that you can contact James. There's obviously email. You can call him if you're into that kind of thing. But like I said, I just like the fact that it can be really casual in the chat where I can just get on and ask a quick question. And we have chat channels for each of the different places that they do vacation planning for. And what's really nice about that is you can ask a question that maybe a lot of other people might be asking, and it stays in the history of that channel so people can ask questions over and over. You know, they're not asking questions over and over. They can kind of scroll and maybe get their question answered there. So I think that's really helpful to see what other people are planning, and maybe people will spark some ideas of what they want to do for their vacation.
So, James, do you know how many families or how many different Disney vacations that you have helped plan?
I don't have an exact number of people that I've helped with concierge, but what I've found to be very helpful is I just am enjoying getting to know people and helping them with their different, what their needs are. And getting to know them, being able to share, like you said, Teresa, my personal experience, and also just using every tool at my disposal. So it could be from, you know, just a couple looking to go to a trip of their own to Disneyland or Disney World. So it's been a variety of people so far, and I've been enjoying every moment of it, and I've actually been enjoyed being in contact with both of you helping plan your trip. And like you said, we haven't even been able to book anything because Disneyland is still waiting to release everything, which they actually just released today, where you can call over the phone. So that's something I can get started for you both, calling on the phone, trying to see what we've got going for us before that they release it on the website, and then we could really start to get this ball rolling and get everything booked.
So James, when people contact you at concierge and they're planning their trip with you, what are some things that people maybe don't know that you guys offer? What type of services can you offer that maybe people don't think of? Because obviously you're going to help people get their hotel rooms booked, you're going to help them get their ticket packages and everything, maybe even their you know, dining packages and stuff taken care of. But what are some of the things that you handle that maybe people aren't aware of?
Keep track, you know, when a reservation opens at a particular restaurant, like say you wanted to get a reservation at Be Our Guest at Walt Disney World, and there wasn't anything at the moment, but we have our third party system that keeps track so that we know the moment that reservations open up, we can get on the phone for you and book that reservation so that it is part of your vacation. And it's not just, you know, booking things. It might be, you know, offering ideas like, what are you celebrating? Are you doing an anniversary or honeymoon, you know, wedding? You know, what are you doing to get to know you and take those extra steps and maybe giving you ideas? Like I said, when we were at Walt Disney World last year and we met Mickey, it was the talking Mickey that sadly is no longer there. But it was very cute to have that moment talking to Mickey and hearing Mickey Mouse say congratulations, you know, for us having a baby. And that's not those kind of things you can't plan for. And if I'm able to help someone with that or giving them little extra things they didn't think of, like say someone who's got a Disney card. I don't know if many people knew this, but with the Disney card at certain areas, you can go to an exclusive part of meeting characters. Like for Disneyland, it's at the launch bay, and right now it's meeting Darth Vader. Nobody else gets to meet him unless you have that Disney card.
All right, hang on. You're telling me that if I would have known, I could have met Darth Vader when I was there a couple of months ago since I'm a card holder?
And I know that California Adventure has a spot near Mike and Sully's Rescue. That's where you can meet certain characters. And this could range, you know, depending on who's available, it could be Marvel characters or Disney characters. So it just depends on who's available, but, you know, I can give that kind of information that people wouldn't think of, you know, do that extra research hassle-free so that somebody's not sitting by the computer trying to spend hours.
Well, James, as you're sitting here talking about this, Teresa is sitting across from me going, man, how did I not know about all this stuff? If only I would have had somebody that could tell me these things like yourself. So we've been asking our listeners for the last few episodes to send in their travel planning questions to have you answer and maybe provide some insight and kind of give people a little taste of what you offer at Concierge. So let's start with the first one. So the first question we have is actually from Brittany, and she says, I'm going at the end of August, and the magic hours are opposite of what we're used to. Disneyland's magic hour is on Sunday, and California Adventures is on Saturday. My question is, I've heard before that there can be some strategy in starting at the park that isn't having a magic morning. Is this true? More broadly, how should magic hours change your park strategy? We only have a day and a half to do both parks, Saturday and half of Sunday, and we need to squeeze out every last drop of our visit.
Brittany, great question. I do realize that you are having your trip at the end of August, but you can still reach me out to me and at my email, and I can still do things like a crowd analysis for your days that you're going. So to answer your question, there is some truth to what you say with the magic hours, because for Disneyland and California Adventure, when people book single day tickets, they want to use those magic day hours at the park. That tends to be usually the most crowded one with those magic hours. So one of the things you can do is you can go with your magic hour, and then if you've got your park hopper, go right next door while everyone else is at the other park on that busy day at that park. And like I said, that's where I can do a crowd analysis and let you know, hey, Disneyland will in fact during these magic hours be busier than California Adventure. With things like that, that's one of the benefits of working with me, is I can give you those little extra nuances to make sure that you're enjoying your trip as much as possible.
So what you're saying is, in Brittany's case, that if there's a magic morning, let's say at Disneyland on Saturday, to go for that magic hours in the morning, but then as soon as California Adventure opens, head over to California Adventure, because people won't make that leap over from the magic morning park.
Exactly. Most people will have a single day ticket, so they'd want to try to get as much as they can in that park for that day.
Wow, you know, that's really interesting. That's not something I ever would have thought of, but it makes total sense. You're right, because if you start, and I'm the same way, if I go for that extra magic hour, I don't think to hop back over to California Adventure. If I'm already in Disneyland, I'm just going to spend my day in Disneyland. That makes total sense as to why the opposite park would be less busy that day. All right, so our next question came from Tammy. I am planning my second trip to Disneyland, which will take place this October. I'm staying at the Paradise Pier, and I'm concerned about the construction and where we will enter the downtown Disney area to access the parks. Any ideas where the security entrance will be in October, and will this adversely affect our walk to the parks?
It is sad that things like the ESPN Zone and Rainforest Cafe are no longer with us, but during this construction, you have nothing to worry about. There are still plenty of ways to get to the parks. I mean, there's still the monorail entrance where the Rainforest Cafe used to be. If you wanted to take the monorail to the front of the park, there's the walk to downtown Disney to Disneyland is still the same. Still have the main entrances when you go through downtown to the main gate. And if, say, you were going to California Adventure, you could also go straight through the Grand Californian Hotel. They've got an entrance right there through the hotel to go into California Adventure. So there are still quite a few ways to get into the parks that is not hindering because of the construction.
You know, James, that's a great thing that you bring up, because I don't think a lot of people realize that there is an entrance at the Grand Californian that not only can the Grand Californian guests use, but so can the Disneyland Hotel guests and the Paradise Pier Hotel guests. And actually, even through Downtown Disney, you can get into California Adventure that way, which is really nice. The great thing there, too, is security and bag check is a lot shorter. It's a lot quicker to get into the park. So I don't think a lot of people realize that. So that's a great point. So our next question comes from Jennifer, and she's sending kind of a long, detailed email. But we're just gonna kind of, I'm just gonna kind of give you the cliff notes here, so you can answer just a couple of her important questions. So, she says, for some background, I'm traveling to Disneyland with my husband and two young children, ages 7 and 4, September 23rd to the 27th. She chose that time because she thought it'd be less crowded. She loves Halloween at Disney World and wanted to try the Disneyland version. They already bought tickets for that. And this will be her first Disney experience with her kids, and she's so excited. She's been a few times to both California and Florida. So her question is, what are your thoughts on dining reservations and packages? So she's kind of torn between the Blue Bayou and doing Fantasmic, doing the character breakfast for kids, and then doing some type of dining package with Paint the Night. So, you know, she's kind of wondering, should she book all three? Should she just book one? I guess what's your suggestion for that?
I'd say, Jennifer, congratulations on going to vacation with your family. You guys are going to have a lot of fun, especially at the Halloween party. Going to your question about the dining packages, if, say, you're not someone who likes, you know, big crowds, being around big crowds, I'd say the dining packages are very worth it. Like for Fantasmic, you know, get the Blue Bayou package and you get a nice view of Fantasmic front row, your own spot. It's all reserved for you. You don't have to go camp out. Same thing with Paint the Night Parade. I would think that's fun, especially if you have kids who enjoy superheroes, because they do have the new Incredibles float that replaced the Frozen float on Paint the Night. And same thing with Fantasmic. You get the experience of having a nice meal for you and your family, plus a nice spot reserved for you. Again, if you're someone who isn't keen on being around big crowds, I'd say that would be definitely worth it. Now, with character breakfast, that can depend on quite a few things. Since you're going with your kids, depending on who they're interested in seeing, there are quite a few options. Like Goofy's Kitchen has only a few characters. Has Goofy, like Donald, Chip and Dale, it's only a few characters. Same thing, they are just opening another one that's... Mickey is having one where it's Mickey and a few other characters. But if you want a whole range of characters, especially since the lines pile up to see characters all around the parks, Minnie and Friends Breakfast in Disneyland is a great way to meet characters, because it's one of the first things in the morning and it's whoever is available. Because it's in the parks, you can meet almost everybody, minus Goofy and Mickey. So it just depends on, you know, what your kids are interested in, but I think the dining packages are well worth it if you're able to do them. Plus, it would make for some fun memories to look back, to have them say, we had a great spot seeing Fantasmic. I was there, right there in front, feeling all hot from the fire and seeing Murphy, if she's working at the time.
All right. So, Jennifer, I can tell you just from my personal experience, I know I've talked about this on the podcast before, but I would very highly recommend that you guys do the Blue Bayou dining package for Fantasmic.
I concur.
Vern and I did that during our last trip, and I really thought that it was money well spent. We literally sat front row center, just behind the fence, and it's really nice. They give you these nice, like, squishy cushion things that you get to sit on, because when you watch the show, you are sitting on the concrete. So it was very helpful to have those little seating mats. But I mean, you are so close. I noticed things with this show that I had never noticed before. And if you guys haven't caught the gist, Fantasmic is my favorite nighttime spectacular that I've seen. It's just, I don't know, just my favorite. It's got a special place in my heart. So for me, definitely was worth the extra money to do the dining package. But we were sitting so close that we were actually getting wet from the water misters and the different, you know, water effects that they had. You could feel the heat from the different flames. It would have been even better if Murphy, the animatronic dragon, would have made an appearance, but unfortunately she apparently was a little shy that night and didn't come out. So that was my only complaint, but I know that, I mean, there wasn't really anything the Blue Bayou package could have done about that. But all in all, if you are a fan of Fantasmic, I really think that everybody needs to experience this dining package at least one of their visits at the resort.
I totally agree.
All right, and our last email was from Christine, and she writes in, on our last trip from Wisconsin to Ohio, my son woke up consistently at 6 a.m. So it sounds like her little guy is an early riser, and he is she's very worried that he's going to be waking up at 4 a.m. every day and that they're going to have issues making it all the way through to the fireworks. So she's asking what you suggest to deal with the multiple hour time change. Should they take a rest day? Should they leave the park and take a nap? What are your suggestions for this?
Excellent question, Christine. And I understand it can be difficult. A young child, I have a 6-month-old myself, so going around places isn't sometimes the easiest with him. But there are definitely a few things to keep in mind that may help you still enjoy your vacation and then make sure that your child is not fussing as much. You know, a couple things that I would recommend is make sure you have a stroller, whether you rent one or you bring your own. Most airports allow you to bring your stroller on for free. They don't charge, most of them don't charge you, so you are able to bring your own stroller. If you didn't want to rent any of the ones that Disney had, put them in there and just let them nap and let them sleep whenever they can. Some other options, it doesn't have to be the stroller, using those backpacks where you can have you can be carrying the child and they can be resting while you're just walking around enjoying the sight. And I would also recommend, you know, spend some days taking some time to go back to the hotel to nap. I mean, you could go bright and early when it opens, and then maybe around 2 o'clock, go back to your hotel and everybody nap for a little bit before going out again. That way you're not tiring yourself out. Your child is not getting too tired and cranky, and then you could still enjoy the nighttime festivities, because going to Disneyland or any of the Disney locations, seeing the fireworks, I think, is always a must.
So some other ideas that if you either have a sleepy kid with you or maybe you yourself need a little bit of a recharge, there's a couple of little areas in the park that are kind of a good place to just kind of get away and kind of recharge, I guess. So going to any of the theaters, we've got the theater over in Tomorrowland and the theater over in Disney California Adventure in the Hollywood backlot. Both of those are right now, they're playing the different Pixar shorts. That'd be a great place to kind of get out of the heat, get into a cool dark area, enjoy some air conditioning, and kind of just relax. Going over and taking in the Frozen show would also be a good option. That show lasts about an hour, so it's a good...
Mickey and the Magical Map in Fantasyland.
Yep, Mickey and the Magical Map's the other one. That one is outdoors, though, so depending on how hot it is, that may be relaxing or not relaxing. The other thing that I always forget about, and everybody seems to walk by, and it's great because nobody really knows that it's there, it's kind of a hidden gem, is... On Main Street, there is a theater, and if you go in there, they've got different shorts. Guess they were the original shorts, because they were the original black and white shorts. It's air conditioned in there. It's
nobody's ever
dark.
In there.
It's quiet because they're all noiseless. They're all silent shorts. Mm-hmm. So it's a really, really great place to recharge. In fact, the last time I was there, there was somebody taking a nap while we were in there. So apparently that's the place to go.
So basically any type of indoor kind of thing. You can go see Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln as well. You can go inside and watch the Enchanted Tiki Room. Because a lot of those things, you know, anywhere there's air conditioning and you just get a few minutes to sit down is always a welcome thing. Also, another one that a lot of people do, and I think is heresy, but a lot of people do it, is, you know, just take a break in the middle of the day. Go back to your hotel room. Maybe, you know, have somebody, you know, take a nap yourself, that kind of thing. Go visit the pool, you know, just kind of recharge and get out and away from everybody. And sometimes not even taking a nap. I know that I've had times where I felt really tired and want to take a nap, but by the time I get to the hotel room, I feel recharged already. And sometimes it's just getting away from all the busyness of the park can be helpful as well. So we're finished with all of the listener-submitted questions. So now we're going to go with our producer, James, not to be confused with James from Concierge, also had a couple questions for you. And the first one is, so he's wondering, like, do you have any type of packing tips? Is there anything that people should think about packing to ensure a fun trip that they may not think about?
Sure. Wonderful question, James, because there are definitely plenty of things you can pack. And I'm going to use Walt Disney World as an example, because that is pretty interesting with all the things that can go on, especially with the rain. So one thing I found out recently, and this is something I never would have thought myself, but I think would be nice, is if you're in a hotel that, say, doesn't have a washer, bring some of that, you know, little pack of detergent. You can carry that on your carry-on and use your tub as a washer, having hot water, pouring that in, wash your clothes, so have your clothes there to wash so they don't have that very, you know, smelly sweat, and then you can just leave them up to dry, you know, old-fashioned, like in the old days. So that would be something to keep in mind if you wanted, you know, an easy way to make sure your clothes are very nice. And another thing would be the dryer paper that you put in a dryer. If you're one of those people who use the drawers in your hotel room, put that dryer there and it'll still give it a nice smell, you know, after a few days, so that your clothes still keep smelling nice. And another thing would be, as you know, it rains at Walt Disney World and sometimes shoes can get wet. It's always good to bring an extra pair of shoes because you don't want to be walking around, you know, with wet feet all around, to be able to have some pair of shoes to dry. Another thing would be those multi-plugs, especially if you have a growing family where most of you have phones or cameras. There's so many sockets in a hotel room. And if you have those multi-cords, then everybody can make sure everything is charged. Because the last thing you want is to pull out your phone to take a picture and then realize, I didn't get to charge it because so-and-so was charging it when I needed it. And another thing I would say that would be interesting, because you are allowed to bring snacks and water into the parks. So one thing you can do is go on to Amazon and you could order a box of, you know, snacks to have with you, or like a pack of water, so that you could save money, you know, instead of worrying about buying waters inside the parks, because we know how much that can rack up. So you could spend, you know, less getting a package and have it sent to your hotel. I don't know off the top of my head, but I know like some in Walt Disney World might have like a $5 fee to accept a package for you. But, you know, that would be a great way, so you don't have to worry about packing snacks, packing drinks. You could have something there for you so that you can just go ahead, have it in your backpack, especially if you've got small kids and you don't want to go to every concession stand, you know, for a pretzel. You can have some chips or bars instead.
You know, that's such a great idea, because since a lot of people are going to probably be flying down to the Disneyland Resort or Walt Disney World, they don't have access to a car. They don't have an easy way to get themselves over to the grocery store. That is so helpful to know that you can order things online and just have them shipped right to your hotel. I think that's brilliant and, quite frankly, something that I wouldn't have ever thought of.
Yeah, me either. And sometimes people don't think about the flip side of that either, because I know I like to buy a lot of souvenirs. I'm sure people, especially people with families, probably want to buy a lot of souvenirs. And so what ends up happening is you can't fit it in your bag. So you can also ship your stuff back to you at home. So it costs a little bit of extra, but it kind of takes the headache out of trying to shove everything back into that suitcase.
So another question that I feel like everybody probably has a different answer to, but how do you figure out the right amount of days for a family's visit?
Again, great question. And there's no right or wrong answer to this, Teresa. One thing I would say is, and this is where it's different for each family, for someone who's an annual pass holder and they live in San Diego, so they don't have that far a drive to Anaheim and they're going frequently, they maybe want to spend 1 or 2 days at the park, and they're, you know, they don't feel they're not missing out of anything because they know they can come back. But say someone like you and Tay, for example, you don't get to go as often. So you don't get to go. So when you go, you might want to experience everything as much as possible. Spend 4 or 5 days there to take everything in. That might be your thing. But some people might want to spend some days and enjoy the hotel more or go to downtown Disney. I mean, it's different for each person. And the good thing is, after the third day, the tickets get less expensive the more days you add on.
Thank you so much for joining us this week on the show, James. We look forward to working with you as we get our trip planned and booked before the D23 Expo and having you on more to answer vacation planning questions from our listeners.
Thank you again for having me on the show. And just remember, it's not Disneyland, it's Walt Disney World, the Disney Cruise, Adventures by Disney, and Disneyland Paris.
So as a reminder, if you would like to have easy access to James and Concierge, you can always chat with him in our vacation planning channels on the supporter chat. To become a supporter, head on over to DisneylandWeekly.com/support to find out how. Otherwise, we will also be sharing James's email address as well as Concierge's website information if you want to just contact them directly.
Yes, thank you, James. We appreciate your time and all of the wealth of information that you have and provided to our listeners tonight. So thank you very much. Well, as we wrap up, we want to thank you all for listening and supporting us each and every week. Another shout out, a big thank you to Alex, Kayla, Keith, and Gretchen. If you're able, you can help us out by becoming a patron. Our patrons get some fun perks, including access to a supporter-only chat with us and fellow Disney Parks fan, and some Disneyland Weekly swag. Don't forget, you also get access to those vacation channels to talk with James. We're also working towards some new goals when we hit certain milestones in support. The next level is commentary on shows, parades, and spectaculars. We're just $48 away from that goal. To find out more about this and other new milestones, head on over to DisneylandWeekly.com/support.
If you're in the midst of saving for your next Disneyland trip and perhaps having James over at Concierge help you plan that trip and can't support the show with money, please help us out by sharing Disneyland Weekly on social media or by word of mouth with other Disneyland fans that you may know. If you're going to the park soon and want to be wearing some neat Disneyland Weekly swag, head on over to DisneylandWeekly.com/store to pick some up. Remember, if you place your order August 2nd through the 6th, use coupon code SUMMERSUN, that's SUMMERS as in Sam, UN, to receive 15% off your entire order.
We love seeing reviews on iTunes, plus it helps get our ranking better so more people can find us and join the community. If you want to join in the conversation, you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/DisneylandWeekly, on Twitter at DL Weekly, on Instagram at instagram.com/DL Weekly, or by sending us an email at feedback@DisneylandWeekly.com. Please feel free to email, Facebook, Instagram, comment, or tweet us any questions, feedback, or suggestions you may have about the show.
We will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
So until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.